Special antenna not required. It's GRD's Weekly.
Yes, indeed it is, and welcome back, and, you know, thanks for coming back.
Yes, thank you.
Everybody. We missed you.
But yeah.
Did we?
Well, I threw things like mad.
Did you now?
And I never heard anybody yell, so.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying we must have missed them greatly.
Yes, wow, that
it took
helps.
Me a while. Joke bomb.
Sorry.
Your aim's getting better,
I figured
though.
I could have kept having to explain it, because I wasn't seeing the dawning, the recognition.
No.
That's all right, that's all right. We all may seem a little slow, but some of us are very quick, including the Flintstress.
You think you can rhyme, man? Your flow is amateur. I'm a nun. I can smoke you when I am the pentameter.
Damn.
That was an awesome one.
It was a pretty good one. The man that tells you to watch out, it's the Bruce.
You step out of line, you make one false move, you're out of here. Don't think you're the first.
No.
I will whip out the pimp hand. I will do it.
And people need to stop telling me that I need to communicate better. I'm Billy Flynn.
I don't really feel qualified to give any advice on interpersonal relationships today.
Thank you.
Is that from Daria?
Of course it's from Daria.
Awesome.
Because Daria's on DVD, and we have to go.
I know. It'll be part of our Geeky Week next week.
You have no idea how thrilled I was. We're doing the show. It's like, Daria, it's just like, oh, Daria, we have to get that. And I'm like, oh, my God, thank you.
I know. I listened to the show today, and I was like, oh, yes.
I was like,
Daria.
Finally, there's something coming out that you were just like, oh. And I was... That never happens.
Yeah, we've been trying to be all frugal. So we haven't, like, bought DVDs in, like, a really long time.
Diarrhea,
really
cha-cha-cha.
Long
diarrhea,
time.
Cha-cha-cha.
No, no. So much more than that. You simple-minded. Okay, fine. So other than that, yeah, welcome back. Yeah, there's no special antenna required.
Nope.
Not to get us, never.
Nope.
No.
We're absolutely free.
Totally. And yeah. You can, you know, all kinds
and
of stuff
legal.
Is free over at the forums at geekradiodaily.com, where we talk about all kinds of crazy things. And God, I need to get back on the forums. Wow. Yeah, you should go. I'm going to be a while, but you should definitely go.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, definitely, right. Definitely. And stop by Facebook and...
Like
the page.
Actually, I had to think about it for a second. It almost said it backwards, just in trying to say it
it's
backwards.
It's so crazy. It's so crazy. So as you tell, we're not cutting edge geeks, but most of us really aren't. I think that's the definition. Didn't we just determine that, or did I just make this up? That the very big determination between nerd and geek is that a nerd is geeky about everything, and geeks have jobs.
So, something like that.
So, possibly.
I'm sure it's part of
we
it.
We have to interact with the public whether we want to or not. So
and we can.
Yeah,
we had the ability to actually interact with the public.
We can do it. We can talk. We can make people not cringe. So what have you been doing geeky this week or
well,
so?
Well, I'll start with TV. And, of course, Doctor Who is so good. I'm really liking the new Doctor. I like the chemistry between him and Amy, the companion, and it's just really, really good. I won't say anything, you know, specific because...
Well,
you know,
you can talk through Time of the Angels because that is on BBC America by the time anybody hears this
okay.
one. Okay,
all right, yeah. So
part one of the...
The angels are always the creepiest thing. I mean, those angels, I remember from the first episode that they were in, it was just... Didn't I have to, like, look away or, like, leave the room or something? They're scary.
Yes, and I told you not to look away.
Don't look.
No.
Look, stare at it.
You have to look.
So I'm watching the whole episode like with toothpicks in my eyes just going, oh.
Ew.
And then it took the...
That's a metaphor.
Okay. Sorry. I'm
and then it took her just a moment. It took Amy just no time at all to go blink one eye, blink one eye, blink the other, you know, bouncing back and forth. It's like, oh my God, how did
right?
nobody think of that?
She's like ditzy sometimes and also brilliant.
She just sometimes
camera one,
sees
camera two,
things.
Camera one,
she
camera two.
She just sees things.
The way her brain works,
it.
She is just hilarious. I'm like, duh.
And she's really cute.
She
so.
Is a super
Oh, that
helps. Also, you know, our favorite show on TV, Lost, is just, I'm already starting to feel bereft for it being over because it's like so soon, but it's been so good.
Yeah, you can actually kind of feel that now because we lost half of the cast in an episode.
Yeah.
Okay, did anybody else think just for a moment? Okay, yeah, the sub's going to go up. Just for a moment,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just it's like,
well, it didn't go up. It went down.
Why? They can kill him with four episodes left. They've done Stranger Things.
We could see what, you know, who's left, Bernard and Rose, and what, you know, what the rest of them are up to.
Gotta go save those knuckleheads. I'll be right back, honey. Be careful. It would be great. I'd like that. The Adventures of Bernard and Rose.
Yeah, and Sun and Jin. That was so sad.
Yeah,
that
was
kind of been my favorites.
No.
And
did
Kate?
Not. See that coming.
No.
Did not, no.
No, not at all.
Saeed, I've been waiting for it the whole time. That did not see that coming.
What about
at least Kate
Lapidus.
Got shot.
Lapidus?
Lapidus may not be dead.
Yeah, he's dead.
Lapidus may not be dead.
You didn't see him come
dead.
Out the sub.
We haven't
He'd
seen...
He'd hold his breath that long.
We haven't seen Desmond come up out of the hole yet either, but we know he's not dead.
Right. Well, yeah. And people can do crazy things like hold their breath for a long time in TV.
Hey, off screen, yeah. If it didn't happen on... Half the time when it happens on screen, it didn't really happen.
Yeah. Especially on Lost. Nobody stays dead on Lost. I did hit you with the double whammy
You hit me with the double. I got the first one, but no, you had to...
Squeeze it in there.
Come around again. I don't always
think in those terms, but yeah.
No.
Really, really good. Also, obviously, that same night is Glee. We need like a Glee sounder.
We do.
Like Glee. Whee! I don't know. No. Something.
No. We need the little from, you know, going to commercial sound.
Right. Yeah. Something like that. But definitely like in Glee, very fun. This whole Kurt's dad and Finn's mom thing is going to be interesting. See how
I thought
that,
they
wait, wait, I got that. No, I did get it right. Yeah. Okay.
Thought they would have stretched that out a little more, but no, that's fine. It's the thing with this show. They move sometimes in quick directions, and it makes you wonder how long-term can some of these... Anyway, yeah. Sorry. I love the show.
Has there been the episode with them doing Kiss impersonations yet?
Negative.
Okay, spoiler.
Okay.
Okay. I saw a photo in a magazine today.
Okay.
And it had one of the characters dressed up as one of the members of KISS.
I don't think that's tonight's episode.
Well, I don't know. It could have just been kind of a publicity thing. Who knows? We'll see. So, you know, there's that. And then we had the new episodes of The Office, Parks and Rec, Community. You know, our Thursday night lineup.
Oh, my God. Community.
Community.
Community
was this the paintball one?
The paintball one, yes.
The gotcha episode?
This was awesome.
This was... action adventure.
Oh.
I mean, every cliche from every action movie, wonderfully, wonderfully done and twisted in the way they do in Community.
Priority registration.
For priority registration. Jeff Winger takes a 30-minute nap in his car and wakes up and...
The campus is demolished.
The campus is demolished.
Because there's a paintball war, because whoever is gets to, you know, register for their classes before
first.
Everybody else.
Yeah. Everyone.
It was just crazy.
Oh, it was...
I remember
God,
those days.
It's
God,
so
that was a fabulous episode.
Funny. The show is so funny. Easily, I've got to say, I don't know of anything funnier. I don't know what else I laugh out loud so many times during. I just don't know.
It's okay. It's funnier than Parks and Rec, and it's funnier than The Office right now. I mean, The mm-hmm. Office in its heyday, at its peak.
It would have been. Oh my God, that would have been a
tied
dynamic
up.
Duo right,
right
there.
Except we did have a pretty good prank. It's been a while since we've pranked Dwight, and they had a Morse code prank that was really, really good.
They,
like Jim and Pam together are now pranking Dwight. They went and took a class on Morse code so that they could, because they know he knows Morse code,
uh-huh.
so that they could send secret messages, but that he would know, like,
okay.
like where is the detonator and those kinds of things, and freak.
What are you talking about? No, that's Morse code. I know Morse code. Oh yeah, right. Yeah, we took time out of our lives. We hired a babysitter and we went and took a class on Morse code. And you cut to them. Yep, we did
class.
That. We did that. We cut to the just the sitting there. Yes, we did.
Deception by
they
complete
will
truth.
Go for a prank. They will really go for a prank.
There's nothing better in this world than telling someone the absolute truth and having them not believe you.
Oh God, yeah, I do it all the time.
We've also been catching up on some more TV. We've been watching V, so I think
we're
fully
caught up on V. We are
fully
good.
caught up on V.
Good, good.
Interesting. It's kind of stretching
we'll
it a little bit.
Behind an episode tonight because
yeah, that's true.
We're always behind an episode. How did we ever live before we had the DVR? I mean, like literally, how did we watch TV?
No idea.
I really cannot remember
what life was like.
We
didn't do other things with our life.
That's true.
Lived by the TV.
Ah.
Appointment television. Damn it all.
Yeah.
Death of appointment.
You had to pick which ones were really.
That's true.
Oh yeah.
That's true.
Do I need to go have dinner? Or
right, like hold on, I can't. I remember. I actually do remember hanging up the phone with people to be like, "I'm sorry, my show is
my
back from commercial or whatever."
On.
Yeah, I do remember that part.
I gotta go pee real quick. Hang on.
So we're caught up on V. We're also like pretty much caught up. We're almost caught up with Fringe.
We put a severe dent.
We put
in
a severe dent in Fringe. We're back. Yeah. We're back to Fringe. We like Fringe.
God, Fringe. So
the character
good.
Dynamic. We've got a father son. Yeah. We've got a man and woman sexual tension. We've got coworkers. We've got a lot of interesting dynamics to that show. It's really, really and the science
I'm
or not
sorry
science
I didn't
blows
keep
my
up
mind.
With that show. I really, really am.
Really good.
I'm sorry I didn't keep up with that.
Yeah, I remember, because I remember, you know, we got frustrated a little bit beginning, because we're like, okay, well, everything is going to be just this massive
Monster
dynamic
of the
corporation.
Week, sort of,
everything
right.
is going to
mm-hmm.
be
yeah,
this.
That was what we thought
and
for
then,
the first five
and
episodes.
Then that one, well, it was about the sixth episode. Yeah. Something, there was this episode, and then the entire way you looked at the show forever changed. It was like, oh my God, they're going to really go there, aren't
right.
they?
And there's common threads. Like, there's certain people who sort of show up in a variety of episodes, but there are still sort of like mini subplots that are going on. Sorry, I was talking with my hands and
punched
I just bumped
the microphone.
But yeah, so we're pretty much caught up on Fringe. We had a book fair at school, and it was a BOGO, buy one, get one book fair, so I stocked up on some books.
Uh-huh.
Mostly they have young adult stuff, which I'm kind of been getting into. Young adult and urban fantasy is my new thing, and thank
you. That's the first step for a teacher.
Yeah, because it's also the end of the school year and her brain's tofu.
Well, I mean, some of them are, okay, young adult maybe, but Ender's Game is nowhere near Tofu. That book changed the way I see the world.
I turn around, like, living room, I turn around, she's got a book, and I just turn around, I'm like, are you reading Ender's Game? And she's like, I'm like,
have you read it?
No. Okay.
Well, no, I mean, it's not, it's just kind of sci-fi, Ender's fantasy. Game is, it's a military.
Yes, I've read.
Well, I mean, they make audiobooks, oh, okay, you know, yeah. And well, you, those, yeah. You can read.
I know how to, but I don't do it for fun.
Well, I'm sure that they probably don't have a audiobook of it, but I'm sure that you can get an audio. I will find an audiobook for you.
There you go.
Because it is just really, really fascinating. Who would narrate that? That's really kind of interesting to think about. But anyway.
Me.
So it's a classic. I mean, it's from the 70s, but I had actually taught an excerpt from Ender's Game in a lesson for English class, uh-huh. Like through a training, and then I was intrigued by the book, so I went and bought the whole book. So I've got a couple other kind of young adult. I've got some vampire stuff. I should have. One of them is The House of the Scorpion, which has won a whole bunch of awards. So I'm just really looking forward to kind of stacking up on some reading. I don't think so.
Oh.
What about The Scorpion King?
That would be. No, yeah. That's just ridiculous.
That's not bad. That's ridiculous.
Because if it was a house and it's creepy and there's scorpions in there, he'd be like, get over here. You know, it would be.
One at a time.
Finish him.
Yeah.
And
stamp.
As far as patio books, I've also finished listening to War, you know, the Heaven series. Mary Lafferty.
Yes.
Finally finished that. And it was good. The ending was as satisfying as I think it could possibly be. I love neat, tidy, wrapped up endings.
Yeah.
And it was as neat as, you know, I remember looking at my iPod going, well, there's only 3 or 4 episodes left. How in the world are we going to wrap this up? But it was okay. It wasn't okay. I was okay with the ending, I think.
Okay.
Okay. I want everyone to write this down right now that you said that you like neat, tidy endings. Okay, I want you to remember that.
You're taking that out of context.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying there's gonna come a time in a few weeks where at the end of you're not gonna have it. It's not gonna be neat and tidy.
Well, sure,
and she's gonna be pissed.
No. There, I read a really great article, and I think I've said this before. Lost can't have it all wrapped up nice and neat. It just can't. They have to leave some things. Like we don't want to know what the force is.
Okay,
we don't want to know.
Okay.
We don't want to know.
Okay. I'm just saying. Right. You really hated how The Grudge ended. You really, really hated that you didn't get enough of a wrapped up, complete thing there. You wanted closure.
Well, I mean, there is possibility that I will be disappointed in the ending.
Okay.
But I don't know.
I'm just saying. Yeah, just because you said that and I was like, oh, God, because this is like Twin Peaks to me. And wow, that same kind of thing. Wow, no.
Yeah, okay.
You don't get that. Just be
we
warned.
Did get to find out who killed Laura Palmer, though. So
that wasn't the end of the show.
I know, but it was as far as I was concerned.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's too many Too many people think
I also started listening to Seventh Son, Book 1, Descent.
Oh, good.
And I thought I'd have a hard time keeping track of who was who, but not really. No. It's easier to do that than I thought.
It's well enough written that you don't have to keep cliff notes with you going, all right, who's this? Who's this? Oh, you got it. No problem. Right. You have 7 people with the same name is still, and you still can tell who's different.
Exactly. I think it had been 1 or 2 more and I probably wouldn't be able to handle it. I think that was the ultimate capacity that I could reach. So it's pretty interesting. Just starting to get into it, but it's already, I'm just like, whoa. So I like that a lot.
So you turned to Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, really.
Yes, my mind was
when
that
you can
alone.
Make someone's mind go down, Ted level, yeah.
And if I had a special, you know, Flintstress's viral videos, my favorite recent viral video is the Grammar Nazis from College Humor. So if it's not already in the forums, if Billy Flynn ever sends me the link, I will make sure to post it. I'm just kidding. I'm teasing you. You're busy. But it's really, like real Nazis, like Hitler Nazis, but it's grammar.
It's the opening of Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious Bastards with grammar Nazis. It is brilliant.
Just find it and send me the link, and I'll put it on the Facebook page as well.
Okay, really funny. Last thing on my list is I'm almost done with my Rachel Caine Morganville vampire series.
Oh, yeah.
So, I met her at RavenCon and just, trying to pace myself, trying not to devour all books in like 3 days, but almost kind of working my way, almost done with that.
God, I actually have to teach a little bit in there, too. Worksheet. I'm reading. Shut up.
I don't sit there and read during class all the time. Like, every now and
all
then.
The time.
Here and there.
All the time. All the time.
Here and there, every now and then. But no, I mean, that we're working on a book in school. So, I mean, I'm reading that along with them, too. So, that's what we got. It's not particularly geeky, but that was my geeky week.
Well, the biggest thing that I did was see Iron Man 2.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we saw Iron Man 2, too.
See, I really thought you were like going to mention that as like one of the first things that was going to stop us to go ahead and have the discussion. Because, let's talk Iron Man 2 right now.
Let's do that. It's a very, very good and solid movie. A lot of the criticism that I've been hearing, I think it's been pretty much unfounded. Personally, to my opinion, it's a solid story. The movie I think what a lot of people thought, if this movie was not better than the first, then it's garbage. It's not better than the first. However, it's still a very good film.
It is a serviceable sequel.
Okay, so your opinion isn't as high as mine.
There were things that I really, really liked about it.
There were some fun things in it, yes.
Yes. Yeah, oh yeah.
But that vibe that I was so worried about that I told you I had, where they just didn't feel like they had to, they didn't have to.
I don't know. I
felt really bad for Don Cheadle. Because aside from the opening scene with Don Cheadle, first scene... His character, they gave Rhodey nothing really. I know he gets the suit, but they didn't give his character anything.
And I don't care
how
much Terrence Howard wanted as far as money. It was distracting for them to have recast one of the principal characters.
I was waiting for them to make a joke about it.
Right, like, you look a little different today or something. Or, well, I just thought of some really bad ones. But, you know, but no, but like, I don't know. It was distracting.
What bothered me was their dynamic was nowhere near... You described it really well that, like, you know, they have a really good time, but there's times when Terrence Howard would just be like, I'm friends with this dumb son of a bitch. And I never...
Yeah, you didn't get into this one. I don't think they had the time. I really don't think they had the time
sad,
to do this one.
And I think it hurt the movie because, to me, the character... You had kick-ass action in the first movie, yeah.
Yeah.
But... see what I did there?
Foreshadowing.
The character stuff was just so great, and that's what really made it work. And this time, the character stuff just wasn't there for me.
Well, yeah, I think they were going with the fact that most of the character dynamics were already set up in the first one. So they were going with that.
For instance, our villain of Whiplash, we never get a payoff for the whole father-son thing. We never get a payoff on that. We find out that in a throwaway line, in a moment that's not really devoted to that part of the story specifically, we're told that his dad wanted to make money off of it, so Tony's dad fired him.
That could have been fleshed out a little bit more.
The whole rest of the movie made it sound like he was legitimately wronged by the Stark Corporation, and even though he maybe was, I never felt sorry for Whiplash at all.
I didn't feel sorry for him either. I think
No.
We were in some way, shape, or form supposed to kind of, you know, feel that. And I didn't.
I don't think so. I honestly don't think so.
Well, okay. It's the fact that Tony didn't have any kind of emotional thing to... Oh, the first movie, just the whole fact of coming to terms with who he is and what his life has been about so far was amazing.
Yeah.
In this, we sort of drop hints that he's going to die.
Yeah.
More
than hints, yeah.
We brushed over
they
that.
Banged us over the head with that. But about him dying.
Right. But there was never a moment where he really had to face his mortality. You know, there were all these...
The father-son dynamic, he
sort of went to doubt his dad for a moment, and then it was just thrown away in one line. I never got any big revelations,
I don't think
I was supposed to, because I don't think they made this sequel specifically for me.
I think they had a lot of the Tony Stark going to die, because he was like, if you weren't going to live another birthday, what would you do?
Yeah.
Anything I wanted to. And he got trashed, and he had the Iron Man costume, and he, you know, it was a little bit of the demon in the bottle, but just ever so slight amount of it.
When we first saw the toxicity level in the blood, I thought that's where we were going toxicity.
That's what I thought too.
And then it wasn't, and I was like, okay. Don't hint at something and then it's obviously there. It didn't feel like a natural development, a natural progression. And since I'm going to throw up my complaints, the final battle with Whiplash sucked. It just sucked.
Did it now?
It did. Yeah. It was over entirely too quick.
Yeah, that I do agree with. It was really too quick of a fight.
When they went to, like, you know, put him down at the end, I was like, wait, that's it? Like, his fight with, what's his name in the first one?
Obadiah's
thing. Yeah, right, was longer.
Ironmonger.
Yeah, it wasn't, actually, that fight in the first one was, it was a bit longer. I'm thinking at the very end.
Because they made it seem like it was going to be shorter, and they did a little sort of fake out, and that lasted long. That was just it. Now, we did have all the drones.
Beforehand.
Which
was really cool.
Cool.
Yes. But Iron Man should have been more of a touch-and-go type thing.
I did want to see that. And all I could think, and in one of these things where I'm thinking it, and she leans over to me and says, you know, if she could reprogram and give Rhodey a suit back, couldn't she do something to some of the drones? And I'm like, I'm thinking the same thing.
So, yeah, she's at the computer and she reprograms. Well, I guess maybe because had original control over
it
at one point.
It,
right?
So you couldn't reboot some of the drones, or
they probably hard programmed
or turn them off. I don't know. I don't know. I just, there wasn't enough stuff going on for me to not notice some of the flaws. It didn't keep me entertained enough for me not to. I mean, it's still a good time. Yeah. Have a fun time with it. I'm so glad it did not go at midnight. I would have been severely disappointed if I went at midnight.
Apparently, at the one at VCC, apparently that film went about 20 minutes of the film.
It went
all melty in about 20 minutes in the film, and it took them like 45 minutes to get the film back up and running. So yeah, you're kind of glad you didn't go that one.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can I complain about one more thing?
Why not?
I was really looking forward to seeing Nick Fury in this movie, and I was a little disappointed that Samuel L. Jackson was there. I was like, wait a minute.
I'm acting.
What happened to Nick Fury?
It was kind of Nick Fury-ish. It was kind of.
I don't know.
Please step out of the donut.
I guess it's Nick Fury's moment that, for me, is the whole thing that's not quite right with the movie, is that it's too much of what you're expecting to see and not enough of... No one knew what to expect to see in the first one.
Yeah.
And this time they're using it off of that.
I
just don't think they took enough chances. That's just me.
Probably not, but they're also... You know,
I love setting up all the Avenger stuff.
Oh, yes, it is. Because we set up two of them, at least.
Yeah.
I'll say. You stayed for the credits,
right? Oh, of course I did.
Oh, my God.
And of course, people were leaving the theater at the end of the movie. I'm like, what? And I swear to God, I thought this. What? You don't listen to my show?
Yeah, no.
You don't listen? Why aren't you leaving? What the?
Some people don't. Some people don't.
So, and I actually grabbed two people, like last two people were leaving. I was like, you really want to stay to the end? Really? Yes. Are you sure? Trust me.
I didn't know we were going to get that because I did not watch. I did not read.
No,
because I knew the description
came
out.
I refused.
And I was trying
it.
To guess.
Yeah.
And I dismissed that because I figured they would try to give us...
But give yourself props because, you know, as the credits are rolling, you leaned over and did say something about he's going to New Mexico and, oh, are they setting up Thor?
Yeah. Because it was like he's going to New Mexico. And I'm like, well, if that guy's going to New Mexico.
It ain't King Captain America.
It's gotta be Thor.
It's gotta be Thor, or maybe Hulk.
There was a chance it was... Yeah, no. Because the Hulk movie still hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
I'm using continuity.
That's right. The continuity. Yeah.
Iron Man and Iron Man 2 take place before The Incredible Hulk.
Now, is that geeky or nerdy just then?
That is geeky because...
Okay. Either one.
So after... go ahead, Bruce.
Okay.
I'll remind her what else
I forgot. Two really good things, but go ahead.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Now, what would your rating be?
Eight. Eight pants.
Wow. Okay.
It was a good solid film.
I don't think seven.
I'll give it a seven. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give it a seven.
All right. I saw the SNL with Betty White. The muffin sketch was... remember the Alec Baldwin sweaty balls?
Yes.
Think that one with muffins.
Nice.
It was funny.
Sweaty muffins.
Not sweaty. Just
sweaty muffins.
Eat muffins.
Okay.
I did go to Buffalo Wild Wings with my wife this past Saturday, and we saw the UFC 113. One of the fights that really, really surprised me was Kimbo Slice versus Matt Mitrione. I was expecting Kimbo Slice to literally beat the ever-living hell out of Matt Mitrione.
Okay.
For the people who watch the UFC, it's like you listening to me talk about this, like me listening to you talk about Doctor Who. I don't watch it.
There's no hot ladies in your mixed...
Yes, there are. They're walking around the outside of the ring.
Okay.
There you go.
That's the Bruce at GeekRadioDaily.com.
I'm good with this. I'm okay with that. Matt Mitrione took two rounds and literally beat the ever-living hell out of Kimbo Slice, and that actually just surprised them.
I think Kimbo
just
Slice fired. Is overrated.
He is, and that's why he's been fired. He got released after the match.
Really?
Yeah, the next day.
Full release? Huh, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's Billy Flynn at GeekRadioDaily.com.
Look, I'm just... I'm sorry. I don't mean to make fun of anybody, but the first time you ever said that name, I thought you were making that up.
Kimbo Slice?
And it makes me giggle.
It sort of sounds like a soft drink.
Yeah, it does.
You know, I'd like... Have you tried the new Kimbo Slice?
Okay. Now with more...
more Kimbo.
Yeah, now with more Kimbo. All right. I actually listened to the third episode of On the Edge of Darkness.
Nice.
The one with two individuals who you may know of already in the episode. I have been keeping up with our famous shows, our favorite shows. We've already talked about one of them, which I won't mention again. Let's see. Big Bang Theory. Very, very funny. Kind of a slut. In the episode, it's kind of... You haven't seen it
you
yet.
You were kind of a slut.
No,
in the
somebody in the episode. Kind of
somebody.
A slut.
Okay.
Kind of funny.
Was it Sheldon?
No.
Okay.
Surprisingly, he was the one that wasn't.
I kind of figured. All right.
No, it wasn't him. I watched the Ultimate Parkour Challenge, which is... it used to be described as extreme walking.
Parkour.
It's
I love parkour.
Why are you watching people power walk?
It wasn't power walking. It was extreme walking. It's like going up buildings.
Extreme!
and flipping off of buildings.
Yeah,
and
you know
this,
the one they tried to do on The Office when they fell in the box.
Yeah. It's interesting, but it's something I probably would never watch again. It's just, you know, okay, that's kind of nice.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. Final episode of The Amazing Race was really good. Let's see.
Like people
somebody
of all,
won?
Of all kinds of speeds, don't
yes,
you?
I know. I've been working on the house, and I have to say that pressure washing is a lot of fun for the first hour or so. After about 6 hours of doing it, it becomes a bit of a drag.
Wow.
How the hell do you pressure wash for
and
6 hours?
Outside of the house?
Outside of the house.
Takes
and a,
6 hours?
And a deck.
How big is that deck?
let's see.
Okay. Well, was it maybe six continuous?
No, it was pretty much six continuous hours.
Wow. You're lying.
I took a 20-minute break for lunch and then just went back to it and kept working.
You must have daydreamed a lot. Forgot yep. where you were.
Oh, no.
Oh, what am I doing?
Power washing the lawn.
Oh.
I was actually doing the walkway and the driveway as well, so that does take a long time. So other than going to Fallout, sleeping as much as I can and trying to stay sane, that's pretty much been my geeky sweet.
Kooky. Well, let's go ahead and start back with, hey, we also watched Kick-Ass.
Yeah,
we did. Oops. And it was Hit Girl, of course, steals the whole movie.
I mentioned that. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Nicolas Cage was really creepy.
Nicolas Cage was wonderful. Wonderful in the movie. I just would like to have seen
creepy but yet endearing. You know, he
like
obviously loves her.
Character be more like a little more like the comic. I would like to have seen a little more of that part of the story make it to the movie. But anyway, yes. Did you have fun? Did you laugh?
It was definitely fun, yeah.
There you go.
You won't see that in the sequel, though.
No, we won't be seeing that in the sequel. So yeah, that was a fun time. So having seen it the second time, it's still fun. You know, got to notice more of the little background stuff that
I McLovin as the criminal mastermind. I mean, you know, wow,
really should have been handled more like it was in the comic. Do you get the feeling that that's not treated like it was in the comic because everyone was going to know him this moment he spoke in the costume and go, oh wait, that's that guy.
No,
so in the comic you're not
yet.
Supposed to know who he is,
right?
Oh.
The twist is supposed to be a twist for all of us.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Spoiler.
The
thing that you already know.
It makes me want to read the comic, but it wouldn't matter because now I know. Yeah.
Right,
wow.
Well, you can easily do that. That's fine. I had a fun time there. Let's see. How's this for weird and cool and living in the future? So you know how you get your stupid coupons printed out at the grocery store at the checkout? You know, here's
you scan
your,
them. Yeah.
Yeah. And no, they give you some. You know,
oh yeah,
the
right. printout. Yeah.
Right. So I'm looking at one of them, and one of them. wants me to text a number this little Food Lion number. What they did for doing this was the price of a specific box of cereal, type of cereal.
Let's say it costs like $3.25.
They have sent a credit to my shopping card thing, you know, that everyone has, for that specifically. So the coupon is on the card itself.
So
on the MVP card.
Buy the cereal, you get the
just swipe the card
off.
And it's going to take itself off without no one having to loop a coupon.
Oh, really?
Yes!
That's the future.
I'm sorry, but that's cool as hell right there.
Even if they are totally collecting all of our marketing data information, I mean, Food Lion already has it already. They know everything.
I've got the stupid card. I've shopped there for years. So,
right.
Really.
I just thought that was really kind of cool. That was just really interesting to me. Let's see. Knocking something off of my personal list of shame. Ready?
Okay.
Alan Moore's Swamp Thing. Alan Moore's run on Swamp Thing. I have now read 30 issues of his multi-year run.
Okay.
Oh my God! I should have got to this sooner. Of course I should have. That's why it's on the shame list right there. It is amazing. It is wonderful. It takes the very goofy character that you only remember from the Adrian Barbeau movie.
Yes.
And turns it into one of the most interesting, compelling things that you'll ever read.
Really?
All you need to do, because like literally, I don't remember if you remember the movie, get ready for a spoiler again.
Oh, yeah.
Anton Arcane was the bad guy in the movie. He's the guy that was responsible for the explosion and him, you know, turning into Swamp Thing, running up, blah, 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 blah. You start with Alan Moore's run, and literally it is the issue after... they've just had their big final battle. You have to imagine that movie after that for like 3 or 4 years. Him and everyone were running around through the swamps fighting Anton Arcane and his bad guys, blah, 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 having generic superhero shit. Alan Moore picks it up in one issue, kills him off, but brings him back and totally reworks what you think about with Swamp Thing. It's just amazing. I knew these powers. I did not realize all of this that is now of Swamp Thing came from Alan Moore.
So would I have to watch the movie again to start reading the comic book?
I don't think you would have to, but I think it might help just so you can get
refresh the knowledge.
Just this idea because
it's been a while since
it treats it. You know, they just talk about these characters as if you've been reading, because he started on like issue 20 or 22, I think it was, 22.
Okay.
So it had been going on for a little bit before that, so they had all kinds of stories. So they don't really reference a lot. There's some flashbacks, and you might be like, who or what? I kind of remember the names from the movie.
So, okay, all right, cool.
So that's what that was. Blur. Blur is no more. The beta for Blur.
Blur went bye-bye.
Dun, dun, dun.
Has ended. I finally
Billy
closed.
Billy Flynn is now rested.
I believe I closed out on the leaderboard at somewhere around 2,200 and something. So I was definitely under 2,400.
Okay.
It was late in the morning, so I don't remember exactly what it was. Of the however many millions of us that played, I'm pretty good, is what I'm saying. The game comes out May 25th. When it does, I will have it. Dex will have it. Tons of us will have it. We're going to have to get a GRD night because you can get up to 20 people in one race. Wow. Racing and killing each other.
It's pretty freaking sweet.
It is flipping crack. I've just started, I'm just starting today. Starts week two of my third class with school. I've now knocked two classes out. So that now puts me under 50 credits, I do believe, left to go. So fantastic. Hey, every little bit. Flipping little bit.
You're going to look back at these times and go, wow, remember then? No, my brain's fried.
Whew, kind of. This week will be an interesting one because the paper due at the end of the week is about intercultural barriers in film. I have to pick a film with examples of intercultural barriers and write about it.
So if you got a suggestion, you know, Billy Flynn at GeekRadioDaily.com.
You'd have to send it really quick because it's due Monday.
Oh, okay.
Oh, hurry up with that.
I'm just saying.
I had some good suggestions.
You did have some good suggestions. I've received several good suggestions, including In the Heat of the Night, which had not really occurred to me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles. Oh, Blazing which Saddles. Which would be great. And The People Under the Stairs. So who knows? Who knows what I'll pick? I might just say screw it and do Avatar because it would be incredibly easy. But
I also suggested Clerks 2, but I don't know.
Clerks 2, I think. Because he's taking it back. That's a perfect example.
Oh, yeah. Clerks 2 is a whole lot better than Avatar is. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, intercultural barriers. Yeah.
Avatar is kind of built around the concept of that.
But. Yeah, that too.
So other than that, you know, blah, 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 blah. Keeping up, trying to stay up with stuff. That's what is going on. And I forget what comes next. What do we do next?
I have an announcement that I would like to make.
It's news, right?
Yeah.
Sure. We'll take news.
We're gonna
be at Balticon. Woo! Oh, well, okay. The show will be at Balticon. Woo! How's that? Is that fair?
Yeah, that sounds fair.
It's going to sound exclusive to you no matter what I say.
I know.
But it's not, I'm just saying.
Billy Flynn and the Flintsters will be at Balticon.
And really, when it comes down to it, what more do you know?
Hey!
No, that sounds mean.
Yeah, that sounds dickish. That's what it sounds like.
Never.
Yeah, I'm coming out of Billy Flynn. No.
Yeah. So we'll all be there. We'll have a fun time. I believe we even have we're supposed to be doing a show while we're there, like actually officially, not out in the courtyard or anything.
Oh, you actually got a real.
I'm not sure. I'd have to look at the list again, but I think we're on that. I'm not sure, but
the patron Saint PRS will probably, you know, we'll get him.
And
on
if
that.
Not, we'll just walk around, talk to people, and you know, do a clip show, if you will,
like. The best of GRD.
The best of Balticon. It's what that would be. Anyway. So yeah. Anything else news related?
No. That's all I got.
Thank you for that.
Anytime. Well, you want me to lie? Make something up?
No, I don't.
We're going to ImagineCon thingy. Yeah, no.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Moving on.
All right.
Hi, all. Just thought I would drop you a line about the new Doctor Who. We have seen the first four episodes with Matt Smith, and we were very impressed with the first episode. Although we liked the second and third, we did not feel they were as good as the first one. It could be that we have too high an expectation. However, having said that, the fourth episode was really good, and our 10-year-old daughter found it very scary. She spent much of the episode hiding behind a cushion on the sofa.
Oh, okay, I'm a 10-year-old girl.
I won't go into details, as I don't know if you've seen it yet. Oh, trust me. Trust me. However, I did have one question for Billy Flynn. Following your insightful predictions on your favorite television program, Lost. Thank you. Do you have any theories as to the connection between Riversong and the Doctor? Is she the Doctor's wife, or is there some other connection? And will this be explained in this season, or is it going to play out over a number of years? I would be interested in your thoughts. Keep up the good work, Stephen, from Essex in England. Well, thanks so much for listening, Steve. We do appreciate it, man. That's Stephen. I'm sorry, Stephen. Got to get these things right. Just as easy to do.
Predictions?
Predictions. It's got to be that she's his wife. I mean, it just that seems with this last, you know, seeing her in this one, they really want us to think maybe she's somebody else. There, you know,
there's definitely more to
the story.
There's more that's going on underneath the surface.
I'm hoping they do take a couple. I'd like them to take quite a few years, really, to explain it.
We really do. We need a 3 to 4 year story arc on that because we had one episode with her a year. I think.
Honestly, even if you have to switch actresses, give me 10 to 15 years. I would love for this to play out long and slow. I would really be in for the long run on this because I think it's. I just don't see fans sticking around with the show.
I'm just kidding.
No matter what the answer is, it's not, you know, it's not going to work. So you just might as well just tantalize with it as much as you want to. So that's just my thought. But Yeah, she's his wife. Because otherwise, it's his mom, and that just is a little creepy. It's no Star Wars here, please. Let's see. Oh, Mr. Flynn, the movie I want to see would be a three-way fight, aliens versus predictors versus a team-up of Batman and Godzilla.
It's probably predators.
It probably, yeah, but, yeah, you know, maybe there's a predictor that I'm not understanding, because that's a bunch of different things. Nostradamus and aliens against Batman and Godzilla. And somehow Batman still wins. Go figure.
I left the heart, I hit my head.
I like the Doctor Who movie. I may have asked it on the forums on geekradiodaily.com, but is the Doctor still part human on his mother's side? No. The Fox TV movie with, kind of made the Doctor.
We saw her, we think, right?
Kind of made the Doctor half human in that movie. Weird. Okay.
Okay.
Whose mom? Oh.
The Doctor's mom. Didn't we see
Silence,
her?
Silence, well, the, no, not the Silence Library, the stupid, the end of time thing.
Uh-huh.
I think that's who that was.
Oh, we weren't 100%
no,
sure.
No, they didn't tell us exactly who it was.
See, I forget sometimes what's just your assertion and what's actually fact.
Well, you can pretty much take it as given that I'm right. When I first saw Men in Tights, I didn't like it because it was not as good as Blazing Saddles or Young Frankenstein. But after watching it again, after seeing Epic Movie, I found Men in Tights to be pure genius. Sir.
Yeah, comparing anything to Men in Tights.
Holds up over time.
You could watch
the
entire oeuvre of Uwe Boll and think that it's...
Wow.
You like that? Okay. Near the beginning of Starship Sofa, J.J. Campanella talked about 3D and headaches, as well as how much more likely headaches would be with home 3D systems. And that's from Corey, who sent us a link so we can see about that as well. Because, yeah, if it gives you a headache in the theater, what would that do if you watched it 4 hours a day?
That's a good point.
You probably get used to it.
Whoa. Costner was an awesome Robin Hood. Now, right away, I think I can throw this email out because it's obviously...
Oh, don't be mean.
Damn.
Kevin Costner could not find an accent in that movie.
I mean, he did
That's
try.
The one thing he couldn't hit with an arrow, no matter who shot for him, would be an accent.
Wow.
For arrows, splitting arrows, it's quite... Okay, no. It's quite well known that when Clint Eastwood directed Kevin Costner, he forced him to act because he was not just going to walk through roles like he did in Everywhere Else. And... I forget the damn simple plan, I think it is. Ooh, no, that's not it. Whatever the damn name of that movie is, Kevin Costner acts in that, and he's amazing. As for arrow splitting arrows, I do medieval reenactment, and I see arrows get split all the time in archery practice, and it's annoying because a significant amount of time goes into making an arrow. FYI, just got a 1080p of my own, hooked up the Blu-ray, and watched Baraka last night. Wow. Just wow. Most visually stunning thing ever. From RCM. I don't know. It sounds like it's a corporation when you do it that way.
Yeah.
When you add the to the end?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Oh. Arrow splitting arrows. Do you hit them? Do they literally go and stick in them like they did in Robin Hood? Just split it down the middle and stay there? Or like, do you shoot them and they break? I can see it easily clipping and breaking others. That makes total sense.
If you have authentic documentation or proof that, you see that all the time, take a video. That would be really cool.
Yeah. It would be because...
I want to see some proof.
Didn't Mythbusters do something
about
it?
Yeah, they did. They held the whole episode, and they said they couldn't be done.
Oh, thank you. That's what I thought. And seriously, no. Kevin Costner. Hey, if you liked it, by all means, but much preferred Patrick Bergen's take on it.
Agreed to disagree.
Finally got around to regular recording my two-hour electronic dance music show on our local low-power FM station, WRIR, yo, and I'm starting to post slightly edited versions as podcast episodes. I've been saying for a long time now that I'm not a podcaster yet, so now I can't add this qualifier anymore. That's from Anna.
Hi, Anna.
Congratulations,
Yay.
Anna. Got your own show. Wow, if we'd done a show before now, we would have known sooner.
Damn it.
But now we know.
And knowing's half the battle.
Thank you. Greetings from the Dragon's Lair. Due to a quirk downloading the episode, I ended up listening to the last two Squeaklies one day apart, so I wanted to say that Jet and Flintstress sang the number simultaneously... Damn. And I have to agree that the constant repetition of the commercial for The Starter was kind of annoying while listening to the Heaven series. And the commercials are supposed to cycle every couple episodes, not days. The difference is that it doesn't matter when you download them. It's still the same episode with the same content. I downloaded them over the course of a few months in the midst of collecting back episodes of several podcasts and audiobooks, though I listened to them mostly back-to-back till I finished it, probably about 5 hours a day. In the end, I stopped listening to the intro since it was mostly nothing new, just the same podcast being pimped over and over. After a matter of time, I heard it all. I can't bring myself to actually listen to The Starter at all.
I actually have never listened to a Scott Sigler podcast. I like reading his books, but I don't like listening to his podcast.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, my God. He's got some interesting voices.
Oh yeah.
You'd asked about whether to wait for the, oh yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Dr. Montoya.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Dr. Montoya.
Come back here. You asked about waiting for the iPhone and Verizon. Well, that depends on what you need. I own an iPhone and have been setting up multiple droids to handle email at work, so I thought I'd chime in. The biggest complaint I have with the droid is twofold. First, keyboard on it too closely resembles the standard QWERTY keyboard, which makes the buttons too small for someone like me with larger fingers. Okay, so I guess you have delicate fingers. Like me. In addition, it responds almost instantly to a key being pressed, where the iPhone waits for you to lift your finger. Huh.
Hmm.
Okay. On the iPhone, if you accidentally press send on an email or back when in the menu, just move your finger and you can continue working on the page. On the Droid, if you accidentally press send or back while in the menu, you're SOL. The message will be sent or the menu will be closed. For my money, the character played by the guy... We're moving to another topic. So if you want to talk about that topic...
Buttons. Cool. Okay. Move on.
It's interesting. I really will have to do some sort of side-by-side comparison.
As to Sex and the City 2, the character played by the guy from Northern Exposure is named Aiden. He's the guy Carrie cheated on with Big. Later, she was single again, saw him on the street with his children. Yeah, he got married. While Big was always presented as her one true love, Aiden was definitely a close second and another major male figure in her adult life, and somehow she occasionally expressed regret at having lost. For her to see him and think of it as a sign she should be with him would be entirely in character, though it is by no means an original story idea, and yet kind of embarrassed that I know all of that. And where can I find the horror version of Wonka that you played in the outro? I don't normally go in for horror, but that sounds like it would be an awesome one to see. Well, that trailer, that fake trailer, is available over at Funny or Die.
Oh, yeah, that, okay.
.com. Yeah. Gobstopper.
Yes, Gobstopper.
Gobstopper. Yes. Look for Gobstopper. Nice. And yeah, in case you couldn't tell from the audio, that is Christopher Lloyd as Willy Wonka. I'm sure I've gone on long enough, but again, thank you for putting on the show. It really helps me get through the boredom of driving between locations. So until they make Darth Vader fetish gear, I'll scratch that. Just make mine GRD from Dragon Master. Thank you.
Yeah, you want to scratch that the whole fetish thing. Yeah, okay. They've got that up.
Well, I'm very happy that we're better than boredom. Yes. Better than boredom.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We're better than something. How about toy robots? Are we better than toy robots yet?
Thanks for checking out the post. I feel better now. We watched an Xbox ad for Fable 3. Cannot wait. And learned about this Project Natal thing they're developing. What do you guys think about that? Is it really a video game without the controller? That's what they're trying to get us to believe.
I remember it kind of blowing my mind when we saw the E3. Was that when it was announced at E3?
Stuff from
and
E3.
It looks really kind of cool. I don't know, though.
Just the fact of moving through the menus with hands and stuff like that is just interesting because it's just another way to control it. And there's going to be some games. They're not... I don't see how they could possibly be as intricate as something...
It's going to take two or three generations. Yeah.
You can't do Halo with this.
I saw the video when when Jimmy Fallon was playing it. So he was playing a game. You had to move your entire body. And it was very, very interesting. And it's going to be great. However, let's see if they can do, you know, A-B-A-B, up, down, up, down. You know, it just can't be done.
Well, you know, we'll have to see. There's some things you can certainly do with it, some things that would going to be very difficult. Racing games and stuff,
easy.
I'm very interested to see what that looks
like. Oh, yeah. It's just a move. Yeah.
But a little concern without having the actual feedback.
Right. Because
with a controller, you know, we get some feedback
sometimes,
now,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I'll have to hold a plate.
Are the golden days of sitting on my ass and playing a video game a thing of the past?
No.
I like being able to cause wanton death and destruction over the cobblestone streets of an imaginary quaint hamlet at the press of a button. Will the Natal take away and replace that with an aerobics instructor? Will I have to actually break a sweat over this death and destruction gig while I twist my ankle on a loose cobble?
Depends on where you're playing the game.
For an experience that is intended by design to be escapist, how much realism can you put into a system before it loses its fun? And that's from Eliz, who we saw, you know, does the Dark Cargo over at WordPress.
Oh, okay.
We met at RavenCon. That's a hella good question.
That is a really good point.
That is a hella good question. That's almost a flipping show right there.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
How much realism do you put into escapism? Ooh, creepy.
I'm taking notes.
Okay. Anyone want to answer that question? Because I'm not qualified for it at all.
Not right now. We'll save it for a show.
Fantastic. If you can possibly do that, please do. Meantime, we've got to get to some voicemails, including one from Sam.
Hey, it's your boy, Sam. So let me get this straight. Billy Flynn has an Adrian Brody / Jude Law fetish.
I don't think I said that.
You do.
The waitress is talking about big titty mermaid.
Okay, that did happen.
And the Bruce is running scared from plush... vaginas, plush werewolf.
Yes, yes.
Shouldn't you?
Sweetly. Love you guys.
Wouldn't you? Seriously?
Okay. I do not believe I said I had a fetish. I said that for some strange reason, I seem to get those two confused.
And even though they've never really been in movies together, they don't look anything alike.
And it doesn't make any sense. But your dumbass did the same thing when I mentioned this.
Well, the thing is, I knew which movie you were talking about. So I knew that I saw the trailer, so I knew it. I knew what you were talking about, though.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anyway, no, those two gentlemen are not my type. But thanks for asking, Sam.
So which gentleman is your type?
We'll talk about that in a different show.
Okay.
Hey, GRD, it's Darren. A couple things. First off, Jet, I thought you did a fabulous job on the show, though I got to say the Jet-Flinstress combo on the number, well, what can one say about that? Also, you're not the only newbie in the Doctor Who. I'm just started on David Tennant, number 10, myself, so you're not the only one. I did want to make a note about the theme songs. Yes, I'm always a few weeks behind, sue me. They don't have a lot of good theme songs. The ones from the 80s, I mean,
yeah,
the A-team. You know, the A-team, Airwolf, these are the ones I remember. You know, Star Trek, the original Star Trek.
Space.
You know, the original Battlestar Galactica. These themes I have grown up with.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Airwolf, I had actually forgotten it, but thanks to Hulu.com, of course, having the episodes, it was like, oh, yeah, that's how it goes. And it just, some fantastic themes. And they don't have much anymore, or they just pipe in, you know, some random song that somebody's made, which isn't necessarily bad, but that's just such a cheap way of doing it, in my opinion. Oh, well, that is all.
Well, thank you for that.
Thank you.
That's good to know. Yes, 80s, best theme song.
Oh, yeah. Ever. Of course.
Ever.
Hello, geeks. This is Anna. I was amused by your discussion of the iPhone in the last weekly, and I wanted to share my story with you. I actually had been a singular and then AT&T customer for 8 years.
So
eight,
sorry.
9 years.
So sorry.
When I switched to Verizon so I could get a particular phone that Verizon has still, actually, it's quite popular. And in part because I wanted a smarter phone than I had, but I didn't want the iPhone. I don't know why. I was very anti-iPhone. I thought it was hype. I thought it was all just, you know, the hipsters and, you know, the people who have to have all the latest
pretentious
tech
ones
were getting it. And I was like, I don't need all that on a phone. I just need a phone and I need to be able to text.
Get
and,
off my lawn!
And now, I'm kind of regretting it. And I've said this several times to folks in the past few months. I have been using an iPod Touch, which is basically like the iPhone, only it doesn't have a phone and it only works in Wi-Fi. So it doesn't have the 3G to go everywhere and do everything.
Yeah,
and I'm
iPhone.
Finding that Damn. I wish it could. I wish I could take my iPod Touch everywhere and be able to be always connected whenever I want it.
So you're drinking the Kool-Aid.
What it comes down to is I would have to get the iPhone in order to be able to do that. So
no,
I've sort of been thinking, well, maybe when my contract is up with Verizon, I should go back to AT&T and get the iPhone. I have looked at some Droids. I'm not particularly thrilled with the interface on the Motorola Droid.
That's not
itself,
the Droid she's
but I
for.
Am intrigued by the Android operating system. So maybe iPhone will come to Verizon and I won't have to switch.
It will next year.
Or my contract will end and I'll switch. Or maybe the Android operating system will be on a phone at some point in the near future that has an interface that is as easy and intuitive to use as the iPhone interface. Because frankly, it's not so much that I play with it and it's cool and it's spiffy and everybody out there has one and, you know, we can all be, you know, hipsters and unique all together at the same time. It's more that I just like it because it works. It does everything I want it to do. I wish I had a phone.
Make me some bacon.
Or some sort of a pocket device that could do as much as what the iPhone or the Droid to be doing. So that's my long rambly explanation of where I am in all of this process. So I fully support you, Flinstress, in your desire for an iPhone, because I'm right there with you. Bye.
I would just like it to actually do everything
that it's supposed to do, everywhere it's supposed to do.
And I'm just a pretentious hipster.
Well, yeah. We kind of figured that.
You said it.
Hey guys, it's the Doctor. I'm sitting here with Indigo, and I just wanted to call in about the new SNL movie that's about to hit theaters in, what, like 2 months? MacGruber. We got to see an advanced screening of it,
ooh.
And we're not going to give away any spoilers or anything, but we wanted to call and tell the GRD Nation that they should go see this movie. It's
really?
It's
wow.
A lot better than you might think from, I haven't seen the trailer, but from the SNL skits of MacGruber.
You know, they'll blow up every 2 minutes?
Throughout the movie.
Assuming you're, you know, young, because it's raunchy.
Well, even older people can appreciate raunchy jokes to some extent.
Well, I'm just saying, raunchy, you can't just say it's blanket funny.
But you're stereotyping older people as being...
No, I'm stereotyping younger people like raunchy.
Well, either way, you're stereotyping, and that's not
Did
something...
Did you two have this conversation off the phone?
Don't interrupt them. They're talking.
Sorry.
I think they each have a valid point.
We should get on with this call.
Really?
I wasn't aware it was going.
So, yeah, everybody, get out and give MacGruber some support.
Okay.
Otherwise, I don't know that this movie would, like, see the box office results that it deserves. Thanks again, guys. Have a great show. Bye.
So the Dr. Indigo give it the thumb of approval.
Apparently so. I would definitely consider going to see that if you answer me one question. When did you two crazy kids get hitched? That's what I want.
No, they both did really have some valid points. I mean, yes. There is a correlation between what young people think is funny and what old people think is funny.
That's true.
And
yeah.
Without making a generalization blanket stereotype, there
no,
is
that's
some
okay,
correlation.
It's true. Yeah.
Young kids weren't watching The Murder, She Wrote. So I'm
true.
Just
this is true. This is
moving
true.
On.
They got a bromance
hey,
going.
Hey, guys. This is Lizard. I'm a new caller.
Welcome.
I'm known as Indigo's girlfriend. So, yes, there is a girl in their little group of friends. They've been slowly introducing me into more geekiness, including y'all's show. Some Doctor Who. I've always been a big Glee fan. So
nice.
All sorts of fun, geeky stuff. Slowly introducing me to games. I am a newbie. But I wanted to say that, you know, after their little call war, I enjoyed the
wars.
Doctor Who reference, the timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly stuff. I'm slowly catching up, kind of doing a thing where I'm watching the old stuff while watching the new stuff, so I'm really enjoying it, and I'm really excited to be, you know, a first-time caller, and, you know, you should hear from me more often. So,
yes, we should.
Yeah. Have a good week.
Thanks. That's awesome. Thanks for checking in. That's
Thanks,
really cool.
Lizard.
How do you put up with the two of them? I'd like to know.
Drinks heavily.
I put up with you. It's possible.
That's true. Yeah, but there's just the one of me, so I'm just upset.
Oh, yeah.
And hey, speaking of putting up with people, it's time to hear from Jabba.
I like Celebrity Jeopardy because I can answer every single question, and it makes me feel smart.
Yes. Yes, it does.
That's it. There you go. Straight and to the point.
I watched the finale of that, the Million Dollar Invitational.
Did you notice that the semifinal rounds seemed to be
harder than
the actual finals? What was that about?
Well, not in the finals, was it? I don't think so. Well, okay, maybe.
I'm just saying they were still easy.
Yeah.
They were still easier than normal Jeopardy questions, but it seemed like the two-part final episode.
Yeah.
Seem to be really stupidly easy questions. Elvis Presley lyrics?
Yeah, they were kind of easy.
And they were the titles.
Jeopardy?
They were the titles. They weren't just lyrics. They were like the title of the song.
Yeah, that was kind
of
easy.
There's only one that they didn't know, and of course I knew it because... You know,
you were working radio.
My mom loved Elvis. But anyway,
oh, okay.
Just saying, what am I even babbling about anymore? Yeah, that just seemed to be a little... Seemed to be a little... I really thought Cheech was going to pull it off. Really thought he was.
I was hoping for it, but no, I knew it was...
Maybe next year. McKeon! So if you'd like to drop a note, please do. It's Podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flintsters, all of us available at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you could drop a voicemail to...
206-3-FUN-HECK.
That's what now?
206-3-FUN-HECK.
One more time, because I like it.
206-3-FUN-HECK.
Thank you.
You don't look good. I don't, but you look better.
I can't compete with you physically.
You're not strong. You're silky boy.
Don't overlook my bat. I work out all the time. And reaping burns a lot of calories.
All right, sleeping. We're going to talk about that today. Sleeping is very, very important. You shouldn't do it during the podcast. There's a number of benefits that you get from sleeping a regular night with enough sleep.
Dog disagrees with you.
Yeah, dog. It's okay. Well, I stopped scratching
but
and
she
we walked
sleeps more than anybody put together.
I just stopped scratching the dog until she left.
Okay.
Let's see. One fact from a recent study found out that adolescent males who get a full night of sleep regularly, 8 to 9 hours, weigh less and have a lower BMI than those who sleep 6 hours or less. Okay. Other studies have shown this fact as well, that all age groups and both genders who sleep more consistently weigh less. This is all true except for adolescent girls, which is not a deciding factor, which I found amazingly funny.
Okay.
Yeah, for adolescent girls, it doesn't matter how much they sleep, they're going to weigh exactly the same.
Interesting. No, unless obviously the people are sleeping because they're like depressed or something like that, right?
Yeah, there's a difference that we
but just normal, regular, healthy sleeping.
Yes, normal, healthy sleeping, which is, you know, at going to bed pretty much at the same time, waking up pretty much at the same time, and generally getting 8 to 9 hours of sleep.
Right, because people who are staying awake longer are staying awake to eat.
Probably more.
I got it. I just solved the whole thing.
Yeah, since I'm up, actually, I might as well get some chips.
Well, actually, probably because they're waking up, they're not getting enough sleep, so they're drinking sugary drinks to stay awake.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the mocha latte, you know, mochaccinos, and all that kind of fun stuff like that. So, sleeping a regular schedule and getting enough time to provide
gotta
a lot
some
of
sleep. Give me a grande mochaccino.
Yeah. Basically, with sleep, you get increased memory and mental abilities. Not special abilities, just the regular mental abilities they're supposed to have. No.
Superpowers.
Yes, I sleep 24 hours. I can move stuff with my mind.
Being able to sleep is my superpower.
Yeah. You also get increased resistance to infection and disease, as well as preventing those little ugly little bags under your eyes.
Wow.
So, yeah, go get more sleep. Just don't do it now.
Sleep's good for you.
Sleep is very, very good.
Finish listening to the episode first.
And then we'll put you to sleep.
Absolutely. See all the things you can learn if you drop by the forums at geekradiodaily.com. There's an entire Fit Club section there helping you be all the geek without the weight. Just come on by. Ask yourself. Or ask anyone, because if you ask yourself, you may not know. Yeah. Ask other people questions.
Ask yourself on the forums and answer it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can answer along with you, and you can test your answers against ours. That would be fun. So, yeah. So, anyway, did we ever tell anybody what number episode this was?
I don't even know. 81?
It's 81.
Wow.
It is episode 81. We're going to have a special guest come back and with us in just a moment, and we are going to discuss something that you probably already know because you looked at the title of the episode. Huh. So we'll see you in just a moment then. It's brilliant how that works here at GRD's Weekly.
Spanning the globe for the latest in news and happenings, welcome to the world of tomorrow, today. Dateline, April 6th, 1943.
The bank is on fire!
The bank is on fire!
It seems that Dr. Zhu's minions have struck again. This time, their target was the First Bank of Sapphire, disrupting this once perfect day in the city of tomorrow today. But out of nowhere, our great city's defender of justice appears.
Hey, who's there?
Hey, is there somebody up on the rooftop? Oh, no, it can't be.
Oh, it can be.
Rick, get the boss.
Dr. Zhu's men do not seem to be prepared for the presence of Sapphire City's ever-vigilant guardian, Mr. Adventure, while they made the early morning withdrawal. What is this? Mr. Adventure is about to make quick work of Dr. Zhu's men once again. Oh, now, are we about to witness the demise of one of Sapphire City's youngest?
Hey, help me, guys. Shoot over here.
Those brutes are breaking the foundation of that statue by that child. Surely that child will be crushed. Do you want to find out what happens next? Tune in to the amazing Pulp Adventures radio show at pulpadventures.net to see if Mr. Adventure is able to save that young boy and Sapphire City, the city of tomorrow, today. The amazing Pulp Adventures radio show. Old time radio, new time tech.
This is Christiana Ellis, and you're listening to the Crazy Cats at Geek Radio Daily.
This project has been a dream from start to finish.
He's not just a director. He's inventing a new way to watch movies.
This is a dream come true.
Everybody is buzzing about what this is going to do for movies, and that includes us bootleggers.
When Tim came to me with this project, I said yes, immediately, to this journey.
For me, the real impetus for the project was the movie Avatar. You know, we heard Jim was going to be making the movie, and it just clicked. You know, this is going to be huge. Let's get out there with a camera and film it at the theater.
He is one of the bootlegging industry's true visionaries.
If you end up shooting and you get caught, you know to act like you're retarded?
Yeah.
Okay. The scope of this project is so massive that we've actually had to design new technologies just to realize it. For the first time ever, we're using something called the Image Capture Helmet. It really transports the audience into the theater, and it makes you feel like you are really at Avatar.
Hello? Yeah, I'm at the movie.
GRD's Weekly, episode 81. Yes, we're talking about all the crazy things that go on in those dark, dingy back rooms. No, not the ones at your uncle's place. We're talking dealer room, conventions, bootlegging stuff, and we've got a special guest with us from ScreenGeeks.com, the one and only, it's Dave!
Check out Dexter Douglas, your computer ace.
What's up?
There you go. Welcome to the show, sir.
I don't get
Welcome to the show, Dave.
Yeah, thank you. I don't get my own drop very often, so, you know.
So we dropped you. I hope you're happy with that.
Little sore, but it's all good.
So we're talking bootlegs, not in the traditional sense, not the one that you just heard in the wonderful little... No, we're not talking spend 10 bucks in a street corner and buy some horrible pirated camcorder version of a movie that's in your local theater. No, we're not talking that. Dex, what are we talking about when we talk bootlegs at conventions?
We're talking about the time-honored tradition of finding that rare film that you've never seen anywhere in your entire life and are likely to never see again being sold by some guy in a beard and dressed like a street person.
Now, does everybody know what kind of films we're talking about, Flintstress?
Yes.
That could go many ways.
Well, like Roger Corman's Fantastic Four or Star Wars The Christmas Episode?
There you go. See, look at there. We know what we're talking about.
At least we fake it.
At least we
do. I actually own one of those, too.
Sorry.
I own quite a few of those. The Fantastic Four, the Star Wars Holiday Special, the JLA pilot, the Challenge of the Super Friends thing with Adam West and Burt Ward back together again.
I bought a lot of this crap.
I remember going to comic book conventions when I was a kid in L.A., and watch, I'm like, that's a Fantastic Four movie? And my dad is very anti-piracy of any way, shape, or form. And it's like, come on, son, we're moving along. You don't need to know what that is.
It could have been porn. It'd been all right. But
I'm sure there was plenty of that in there, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. It's L.A. What do you want?
Yeah, I live in the Valley. Yeah, never mind. Let's move on.
Back at my time working at a comic book shop, I brought in my bootleg of Roger Corman's Fantastic Four that I bought off of eBay. And ran it on our video loop in the store.
Wow.
Someone asked me to take it. Yeah, I was pushing my luck there.
It obviously was not a major train.
Check for a second.
Pardon?
Say what?
Well, so now since something like the Star Wars film, it was on TV at one point, and you could have possibly taped it, is what makes it an issue the fact that you're paying somebody else for it and George Lucas doesn't get any money? Is that kind of moral dilemma?
Theoretically, but considering Lucas has gone on record as saying he wishes he could burn every single copy of the Star Wars Holiday Special ever made, I don't think he's worried about the money.
And it's kind of like, in general, is that the general moral dilemma?
Yeah, it's the lack of money. It's essentially the theft, which, you know, honestly, let's be honest about what it is. It is theft.
Yeah, it is. It is exactly that. It is theft. But for some reason or another, since you can't buy it, does that give it less of a moral objection to it?
That was going to be my question, because you can't legally buy the live-action Spider-Man TV show. Why should I not be able to pay like some guy that's got crappy VHS transfers to DVDs from his old Super 8? Why should I not be able to pay him 20 bucks and have it if I can't get it anywhere else?
Including on BitTorrents.
$15.
Oh, see, I don't have that one. The one drop I don't
have. Good job, Flintstress.
Our listeners will chime in.
That's true. Yeah, we could have all done it at the same time. I'm going to save my giant no one really cares point for the end, but a lot of the stuff that you find at these bootleg tables, we're going to start. I know Flynn and I are talking specifically about a certain guy at Starfest.
Yes.
The dude had he had pretty much every TV show you could possibly want. He had Gem and the Holograms. He had,
wow.
Yeah, he had Max Headroom, the original Batman, Adam West, Burt Ward series, which I happen to own too. And the question comes into play, a lot of the stuff you can't even find on BitTorrent, even if you wanted to. So, I mean, this is really, we're talking about stuff that you have nowhere to get.
I don't think if somebody's not losing money from this, that kind of change the attitude. I mean, if nobody's losing money, honestly, is it really a crime?
Wow, you went metaphysical on me there, sir. I don't know if I was ready for that.
Well, sorry.
the people that own the properties, like some of these, for instance, the whole thing with the Adam West Batman is you've got two different studios. You know, you've got Warner's, who owns Batman outright, and you've got Fox that owns the TV show from back in the day. Damn, Fox, they're always messing things up. These guys can never reach an agreement. They're never going to settle on money, but they get pissed off every time someone makes any amount of money off of it at a con, a bootleg anywhere.
Yeah.
But isn't that then in their best interest? Doesn't the very fact that we buy this bootleg stuff, doesn't that mean that someone needs to sit up and wake up at a studio, some suit needs to go, oh my God, we need to make this available to somebody at more money than they're spending now?
That's because we're obviously willing to pay, so why not, you know, let us buy it?
Absolutely. The two series that I bought on bootleg, I now own on DVD, were Freakazoid and X-Men Animated Series. I owned both of those at least, what, 2-3 years before they came out, but at the same time, the intent was, if and when we get a legitimate release, I'm buying it, not only because I want to support the people who own the property, but we're getting extras, we're getting a better audio transfer, we're getting a better video transfer. It's in everyone's best interest for them to release this stuff.
Yeah, it looks better. And also, but the few, maybe 100 or so copies that are getting sold, is that enough interest to spark up the whole big production value that's going to cost to take Freakazoid or, you know, Parker Lewis Can't Lose or something like that and put it on DVD as a complete series?
Well, I see. I don't know whatever held up some of those. Like whatever held up Freakazoid in the first place? Why did it take so long for that to come to DVD?
That was just a matter of them deciding if there was enough demand for it. I mean, I'm still waiting on the last season of Animaniacs because they said demand dropped off with each consecutive season. It's all a matter of supply and demand.
But how much can it really cost to put something on DVD? I mean, really, how much can it cost?
Well, for the licensing and merchandising, it's going to cost a good bit because they're not going to put a small amount out. They're going to put out a couple thousand copies of it. So that's going to cost them, if they're not going to get the return back, I can understand that.
I guess you don't want your products being in the bargain bin at Best Buy.
When I bought the entire series of the Desi Arnaz Jr. starring Automan.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, I remember that too.
I got through half of the first episode and tossed the bootleg.
Wow.
Dex, what is the movie company where they make your DVDs as you buy them?
There are several of them. Amazon does it right now.
How difficult would that be? Because those aren't that – I mean, what is the price of an average DVD that they press for you when you buy it? It's like 20, 25 bucks?
It's something like that. But you also have – I don't know if you guys are familiar with like the Warner Archives series that they're doing online.
That's what I was thinking of right there.
You have the independent distribution route, which is what a lot of people go through Amazon do, like the guys who did Official Rejection or stuff like that. And then you have the burn-on-demand stuff that Warner Brothers has started doing with a lot of the movies that you just can't get and they don't think there's enough market for. So if you really want to own Angus on DVD, and who doesn't, you can pay your 18 bucks and get it.
And it's simple supply and demand. If the demand's not very low, will you make the price higher to cover your costs of making the production?
Yeah. So for instance, the last season of Animaniacs, why couldn't they go with a concept like that? Why can't you pay for the last season of Animaniacs and maybe some other people will? Then maybe they'll see they have enough interest to release it as a full thing.
I'm still the wrong person to ask that question because I'm such a snob. I'll totally admit it.
Oh, now why is that, sir? Why would you be a snob?
Because the compression rate on a burned DVD, they're not using dual-layer DVDs. They're using single-layer 4.7 gig. As opposed to a 7.4 or whatever, 8.4 gig that the dual-layer DVDs have. Their burn discs, which have are more susceptible to corrupting and having problems as opposed to a factory press disc. And the freaking packaging wouldn't match.
So for that,
he's got a point. He's got a point.
So then would you prefer then in that case to pick up a bootleg of the last season until they gave you what you consider to be the true version that you should actually spend money for?
Considering I've done it? Abso-freaking-lutely. I mean,
and what is an individually burned disc except a bootleg that's coming directly from the source?
Exactly. It's higher quality. If I could buy Archie Return to Riverdale from whoever owns the rights to it, I would do it in a heartbeat. But that's the other side of these bootlegs is, I mean, you have the big stuff like Batman and all that stuff, but you have these really small films like the original Captain America film, like a freaking made-for-TV movie about Archie, for crying out loud.
I'm sorry, did you just actually mention the Reb Brown Captain America?
Yes.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And you didn't mention Captain America 2 featuring Christopher Lee?
I missed that one.
Oh, Reb Brown is back and Christopher Lee is going to kill him. Oh, yeah.
Wow. See, the first one I loved because the Red Skull looked like Bela Lugosi.
Here's a question.
Go ahead.
Here's a question for wait. You were talking that one. I'm sorry. I thought you meant the TV movie from like 1978.
I mean the 90s movie.
You're Albert Pien. Okay, right. Here's my question to you then. The stuff you see at dealers' rooms, like the Archie live action, the Spider-Man live action, Jim and the Holograms that are not available anywhere else, is that really bootlegging by the traditional sense anymore? Or do they call these movies nowadays the DVDs that you can buy on the street corner, is that just straight up piracy?
I think
the big studios like to use piracy, but what is this when you're buying an actual physical copy of something technically illegally? And how do they sell them anyway at conventions? If it's illegal, how can they sell them?
Well, and here's a very good point is a few years ago, one of the bootleg dealers, a guy I bought Song of the South for $5 from, incidentally, and I think Barry got Captain EO for $5 from, he also had 300 within 6 months of it coming out and several other films. After that 1 year, you never saw him back at the convention.
Interesting.
Now, you got the guy who's been there all the time, and if he has a bootleg of something, I can guarantee you that every single time, if it's a bootleg, it's not something that is currently available in the U.S. home video market.
Okay, so that's how he kind of protects himself.
And, you know, of all these conventions, I mean, if you go to a convention, you're going to find a bootleg table.
Yes, somewhere. You are.
And if it was really that big of a deal, I think since most of the conventions are now run by big corporations outside of, like, Starfest, I mean, Creation Entertainment is not going to open themselves up to getting in trouble with the studios. They're just not going to do it.
Understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Going back to the technology versions of the disc, the single press. If that became better technology, do you think that would be a viable market to have? You know, everything's digital now anyway. You know, have it ready to go, and can you press a copy? Would that be a good market for people?
I think all you have to do is look at Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog for the proof of that.
True.
Because that was burn on demand, but it also had full artwork and, you know, it had a higher production value than a lot of these, like, Warner Archives are getting, from what I understand.
Stex, what do you think about, like, digital download or on demand?
I hate the idea. Let me rephrase that, because I freaking adore my Netflix Watch Instantly queue. If I'm owning something, I want a physical copy because I like to go through the extras. I like to actually know that I own something as opposed to it's on a hard drive somewhere, and if the terms of usage change, suddenly I can be hosed and have to pay for it again.
Yeah, I agree with that one.
Fair.
And why am I going to rent something digitally for $5 when I can get it, you know, as part of my Netflix package?
Well, with the increase, that's a dangerous question. That's almost another show. But with the increase of, like, this digital distribution and digital download, are studios going to try to find a way to never give you a physical copy?
Absolutely. You just talked yesterday about the MPAA, you know, shooting for home downloads, which we talked about on our show this week too.
Right. So does that mean that the bootleg market would go even crazier for people like you who actually desperately need to have a physical copy in their hands?
I don't know. I don't think we're probably good, at least a good 5 or 10 years off from digital downloads being the only way to go.
Fair enough.
The bandwidth on the internet just simply isn't there.
Oh, tell me about it. We're on Skype right now.
There it is.
So, here's a roundtable question for everybody. Fletcher's, we'll start with you since it appears to be affecting you worse than anybody else. What is it that you can't buy right now that you would absolutely buy a bootleg of if you saw it?
We talked about this one before, but Muppet Baby certainly stands out.
That's such a good choice.
And we've mentioned it already in this show, but people should know if they don't already. I'm a huge fan of Jem and the Holograms. I absolutely love to own and have that.
So now you have your shopping list for next year.
There you go.
Exactly. Bring me a copy from Starfest.
Bruce?
Wow. I honestly don't know because there's nothing that's really out there that I can think of offhand that I would have to have. Nothing comes to mind right now. Sorry about that one.
I have another one.
Okay.
The Wonder Years.
That one's never going to happen. Which, hey, I saw it last week, though, or last month at a certain convention.
Now, for me, same kind of thing. If I could pick up a physical copy of WKRP in Cincinnati with the original music, I'd have it in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
In a heartbeat. So, are these are really cool shows like that never going to happen again? Like, the music? Oh, man, just crazy.
Yeah. You know, Supernatural is a great example of them getting around that. I know you guys really don't watch it, but they run the entire gamut of 70s rock and metal. And they didn't change a single thing for the home video release. And I'm like, I don't even want to know how much the rights were to get all this.
Funny. Well, maybe if a company like Fox puts it out, they'll use the Fox music that they already own. You know, it's possible that we can get around it that way.
Still have to negotiate it, and they're crazy. They're crazy Fox people.
Well, and a lot of it is you have, like, Shout Factory. I mean, we mentioned them early with Parker Lewis. The biggest deal was the music clearance, or the same thing with Spaced. I mean, it can be gotten around. It's a matter of if it's going to happen.
So you didn't tell us, Dex, what would be what is your bootleg that if you saw it in a heartbeat, you'd have it?
It'd be Muppet Babies, easily. Absolutely. Easy. Yeah. Now, if I'm... The other side of this is that we're seeing a lot of these niche titles starting to come out. Max Headroom, I'd love to own. Hey, oh wait, it's coming out. Up until last week, I would have killed to own a DVD copy of Matinee, but wasn't willing to pay $60. Oh wait, I can pay the magical sum of 15.
Oh, I'm not doing that in post. It's just
I know. You're going to throw this to Revelator and toss it in. I know.
Basically, that's what she said. So then are we basically of the opinion that bootlegging is fine as long as it's not something you're actually taking money away from someone else for?
Would you like me to infer what I think the studio's position on it is?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have a friend who works a poster table at many conventions around the country. Every single year he goes to Comic-Con. And there, I asked him last week, when I found out we were going to be doing this, and I asked him, are there bootleg tables at Comic-Con? He's like, oh yeah, there's tons of them. And Comic-Con is where the studios go every year to do their giant presentations. If they had a problem with it, we would have heard about several dealers getting carted off by the feds.
Interesting. So they don't
care. They're attacking BitTorrent, but they don't care about getting a burned copy at a con.
I'm of the opinion that wouldn't be surprised to see the studios posting some of those torrents. I'm just saying.
It builds up the want for it. You know, the bootleg gets the little grassroots support for Parker Lewis Can't Lose and Wonder Years and things like that.
Or specifically, I'm thinking of Taken.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because that leaked 6 months before it released in the U.S. and did gangbusters in the theaters. And I just totally rabbit trailed us on another part of the discussion, so sorry about that.
That's okay. Well, that's piracy. We're talking about bootlegging. And why do they call it bootlegging anyway?
I don't know.
None of us looked that up?
With moonshine.
Yeah, when you would hide your booze in your boot? I don't know.
Right. I would take TV shows I know and love and hide them in my boot. Well, thank you.
I would.
That's been fun. Any closing thoughts, anyone?
No, that's it. We're good.
See, because I was thinking about putting the crickets in right then. I was like, I might do that in post, but no, I'm not.
No. Yeah. Wait. Oh, dang it. I don't have them anymore. I used to have crickets somewhere. Oh, well.
Cricket failure.
They got loose.
That or he went to the doctor and got a shot for that.
Ew.
Just remember, we're rooming next year.
That's true. Thank you so much for talking to us, dude. And you've got to pimp it. Tell everybody who you are and what it is that you do and why you're a rock star.
Well, I don't know about rock star, but I'm Dave. Can I try that again? Yeah.
No, okay. I'm not going to cut that out.
That works. That's totally good because I got my balls busted by Adam Baldwin and left that in. Why not this? I'm Dave. I run the website and podcast, ScreenGeeks.com. You can just check us out doing weekly stuff, Starfest interviews with people like Summer Glau and Vincenzo Natali. And I know you got a lot of those too coming up. So, yeah.
I do, but not Summer Glau because you wouldn't let me anywhere near her.
But I but I gave you Marina
that
Sirtis.
Just happened.
I gave you Marina Sirtis.
That's true. And well, I'm going to just stop that right there. So yes, please do go check out Dave and the wacky cast of characters he has that shows up occasionally at ScreenGeeks.com. Thank you so much for being here, sir, and we'll go buy some bootlegs with you later.
Woohoo! See you.
So that's what you do and don't bootleg, kids.
Yeah.
It's just that damn simple.
I'm glad I got to ask that question, though.
I'm very, very happy that you did. Jared East Weekly, episode 81. Thank you so much for stopping by. And you never know who's going to be here, so you know, show up next week and
who knows?
Could be George Jefferson.
I know.
Or George Lucas.
No, I doubt that sincerely.
George of the Jungle.
George Harrison?
Anyway, Jared East Weekly. This license under the Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Please check us out at the forums at geekradiodaily.com. Make sure you subscribe over iTunes. Like us over on Facebook
like
and drop
us
a note to podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flinster Salt at geekradiodaily.com. Or send that phone, that voicemail thing to
206-3-FUN-HECK.
Who's the what now?
206-3-FUN-HECK.
One more time.
206-3-FUN-HECK.
Later.
Bye.
Blah, 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 blah.
Good night, suckers!
One of the truly landmark things that Tim is doing in this movie is he's shooting the film from two different angles. So we are seeing it from the front and the left.
Using the two-camera setup from the theater, I've been able to stitch together the images to recreate the 3D IMAX experience at home. The visuals are so stunning, it really deserves to be watched on a reasonably sized TV.
I was working on this concept in 95, but it turns out that the technology wasn't ready yet, the film Avatar wasn't ready yet.
Here's some early conceptual art for the bootleg. We didn't really know what the aliens were going to look like. Then later on, we found out that the aliens were actually going to be 10 feet tall and sexy for some reason. So I did a drawing of a 10-foot tall sexy alien.
We are releasing this film on DVD only. We don't want it showing up online or getting downloaded. We have put so much into this that we don't want to get ripped off.
This is the movie that I've been dreaming about pirating since I was 14 years old.
This bootleg is going to revolutionize the way we see movies without paying full price.
Technically, we've pushed the envelope on this one.
This movie pushes the envelope.
Not only are we going to push the envelope with this, but we're going to shatter the envelope. And, you know, I didn't go to college. I'm a single father of a crack user. So for me, this project was really a way to get me $10.